Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart.
You know how like a month or 6 weeks ago, we had a conversation about if you're not sure what to put on your Christmas list, like put things on your Christmas list that you wish you had registered for from your wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did just that. And I put a cake dome on my list. And I guess this transpired into the most ridiculous conversation between my in-laws and my spouse because they're like, why does she need a cake dome? What?
Why not?
Why this cake dome? Is there a reason she picked this specific one? Like, can we get any cake dome?
No. And I was
like, Jared, you have to defend my honor and make it super clear that I picked not only that specific one, but I was dead serious about wanting it. Like, this is not a joke. I didn't say, oh, I wanted that to be nice. Like, no, I really
mean that cake dome.
Genuinely want that cake dome.
Well, now I need to see what the cake dome looks like.
Oh, I can send it to you. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Just send me the link.
It's from Crate and Barrel. And it's, you know, a lot of cake domes are very rounded. And don't get me wrong, I like a rounded edge. But this is like a modern, like barely rounded edge. So it's got very flat sides.
And but it will still fit a cake?
It'll still fit a cake. Okay. It's stunning and it's simple, and people clearly don't understand that I was
right now, so I can react live on air.
Live on air.
I have a cake dome. It's vintage. It was my great grandmother's on my dad's side, and it is like a traditional round edge with a round knob, but it has like very subtle, like etched a little bit of floral along the rim kind of area, and it's heavy. It's heavy. It's a good one. Oh, this is cute. Yes. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean by like, it is honestly the shape of like a hard scraped double layer round cake.
Yeah.
Like it's that exact shape.
Yeah. It's not a massive thing by any means, but I just wanted, you know, we have one and it's fine, but it was absolutely the like, let's figure out how to pick the thing that can do the most things. And so like, if you turn it upside down, it's like a vegetable dish or something.
Oh.
And so like, I don't like all the extra slots and the, like I literally only want it to be for birthday cakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like when it's not because we have like birthday season in our house.
Yeah.
When it's not birthday season, I could see decorating with it in some other way, but anyway,
I pull ours out for birthdays. So like it'll come out for Penny's cake. Although we are going to be doing like cinnamon rolls. Okay. So I've talked to you about this a little bit. So she's getting older to where she wants to have her birthday at places. And I had hoped we could get a couple more years in of house birthdays because that shit is, it gets expensive and it's loud and it's a lot. And it's just like, ugh. But of course she had a friend of hers who had a birthday at a trampoline park last year. And that's like, she's been asking for that for a year. So I was like, fine. So we're doing that, but there's going to be at least 10 children in a trampoline park with other children. Like it's not closed. We do have a private party room And so I'll like probably sit there the entire time. We'll get a couple pizzas for the kids and cake and all the stuff. But it's not a problem. But like our thing is like our family loves getting together. And we have a big family. And there's lots of friends that are family. And it adds up. And before you know it, there's 30 people on her invitation list for her birthday party. And a lot of that includes great grandparents. We are so lucky to still have four of our great grandmothers. And, you know, great grandmas and loud trampoline parks just don't go well together. And so I felt bad for two of them are coming in from out of town for her birthday, as long as the weather is good. And I was like, you're not going to want to sit and just watch her with her friends for 2 hours and then leave. Like, that doesn't sound fun. So what I think we're going to do is like a brunch at our house before the trampoline park. And so grandparents can hang out. We can all chill. It's just like family and like maybe two friends, like my friends, not her friends. And it's just the adult birthday party. And then we're going to go to the trampoline park, because Brian was like, well, after the trampoline park, if we wanted to still hang out with our family, we could all just like go somewhere to go eat. And I'm like, well, that also sounds awful, because there's 15 or 20 of us going to a restaurant in the middle of a Saturday with a 5-year-old that just had like 17 cupcakes. Like that, well, sure, you would be 6 at that point, but that sounds miserable and completely defeats the entire purpose. And so we're going to have cinnamon rolls, and she's going to blow out her candles at home with cinnamon rolls, or maybe I'll make like a banana cake or something like that. And then we'll go to the party where she'll have like regular old cupcakes and pizza and jump around. Because I'm also like, as soon as we get home from the trampoline park, girlfriend's going to be exhausted. And so I want her to go lay down.
Yeah.
Because so I can have some peace.
100%.
So the last thing I want is to then go do something after the trampoline park.
Do you have any vivid memories of a similarly very active birthday as a child? Because
not necessarily very active, but I do have two specific memories of birthdays. One, I had a birthday party at, so McDonald's used to be a lot bigger, and there used to have like some locations that had like a huge playroom with not just the equipment, but like tables and chairs, and like you could rent it as a party room. And I had a birthday at McDonald's, and it was really cool because it was just like play park, indoor, everyone got Happy Meals. It was super great. I think that was like a cousins and friends and whatever. I've never been the child that had like a lot of friends and wanted to invite like the whole class, but I did have a lot of cousins and I had a big family. And so there was that. But then as I got a little bit older, one of my favorite birthdays, if not my favorite, I think I was like 12 or 13. So I was definitely older, but my mom, me, my best friend, and one other friend rented a hotel room, and we just ran around the hotel, went to the indoor swimming pool. We had like our room that was connected to my mom's. And so like she got her piece, and then we stayed up all night. And it was so fun because it just felt like a big kid thing to do. And it was one of those hotels where the elevators are on the, obviously the inside of the building, but like in the courtyard, and they were glass all around. And so like you were in the elevators and you could see each other. And so we would play like elevator tag, and it was just fun.
I'm sure the hotel staff loved you guys.
I know we were not yelly kids. And so like we were very mature 13-year-olds, but it was on like a Wednesday, you know, like it wasn't a busy season, and it was a Tulsa.
Do you remember Jumpery? Yeah.
Oh, like a Jupiter jump thing?
I don't know.
It was like the blow up bouncy castle things?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I don't know how to explain it. It was not jumping. It was like a McDonald's play place, but like times 10. Like it was huge, lots of nets, lots of like things you crawl through. Yeah. And then that's most epic part
park is.
Was the slides that were made of those PVC tubes that were just like tourney tubes. But I'm pretty sure they shut it down after someone's finger got.
Yeah.
It wasn't the safest by any means.
That's kind of how this trampoline park is, because so there's like obviously trampolines you can jump on, but they have like rock climbing walls over a foam pit, and then like an obstacle course and all of
it. She's gonna remember this birthday.
Yeah, it will be a core memory for sure. Well, we already have 9 kids. She's in kindergarten, so it's her first year in public school. And Brian was like, well, who are we going to invite from her class? I'm like, I don't know anyone from her class. She doesn't have a core group of friends yet. Like, we have to invite the entire class and just see who RSVPs. And he was like, mouth on the floor. You guys couldn't see that. But he did not want to do that because there's like freaking 24 kids in her class. And I'm like, they're not all going to say yes. And so it'll be fine. But so far we've had 9 people. Not all from her classroom, but 9 kids. Because we have a bunch of kids in our friend group too. So I was like, so we have one. Okay, this is my last thing and then we can move on. I have an etiquette question. How would you handle this situation? You're friends with someone who has 5 children. One of those children is the same age as your child. The others are not. It's trampoline park. The reservation is up to 10 kids. Every kid after that is $20 a child. What would you do?
I would say to that person, like, would love for you to come. Penelope would love to hang out with insert name of kid that's the same age. Our reservations for up to 10 kids. So you're welcome to bring the other kiddos, but we're just going to cover so-and-so's name. And if the other kids want to play, A, it's on you to watch them and their safety and all that ish, because that's a whole thing. And I'm not parenting your 4 other children. I wouldn't say that part, but you know what I mean. FYI, it's blankety blank price per kid.
Great. That's exactly what I did, because I was like, this is half of our quota with just your family. And I don't want to do that because it's $20 an extra child. And so I messaged her and was just like, hey, so what's funny is that their child that is Penny's age, her name is also Penelope. So we call her Other Penny in our house. And so I was like, hey, Penny would like to invite Other Penny to her birthday. We don't have a lot of slots available, but if the older girls want to come, it's $19.99 per child. And she was like, great, Penelope will be so excited. So I was like, okay, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, and part of that, I would maybe even in that specific instance offer to say, you can drop her off. So you can watch her.
Right, right. Yeah. I will see her before the party. And so I'll bring it up again just to like confirm. But she also knows, like, she is one of those parents who she's like, I know we have 5 kids. Like, I'm not putting that on anyone else.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I was like, okay, good. If you are our only friend, for sure. But that's not what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, enough birthday talk. But although if you have a solid birthday memory, I would love to hear it. You can DM us over at Instagram and I would love to read your birthday stories.
Well, this episode was prompted because I wanted to talk about the biggest mistakes and successes from 2022. But in the process of reflecting, I found that Emily and I do not
We don't make mistakes, first of all.
No. It's not that mistakes were not had, but it's so interesting. We've worked so hard over the last 7 years to like get really clear on how we can learn from things all the time. And so when we were trying to come up with mistakes, I was like, well, this really is kind difficult. Of a lesson learned, but not, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily feel bad that we did the thing.
Right.
I think there's really only one, in my opinion, one like actual mistake. I think everything else was like a lesson that like we can learn something from it. The other one, if I could go back and change it, I would.
You would do something different. Yes, I agree.
So we will make it clear.
Lessons learned and successes.
Lessons learned and successes. And the one mistake I would absolutely change. Yeah.
Do we want to save that one for last?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you got to wait.
The one actual mistake? Stay tuned. Okay, so we can talk about this first little success on our list. And it's not little. It felt little at the beginning. And as time goes on, it feels bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more impactful and more of a success. And I think it's one of those, like, it took a minute for us to figure out how we could make it a success for us. And I'm honestly so proud of us. So the success for me is how freaking amazing and functional and impactful our team is and has been this year. As you guys know, if you're an avid listener, you have heard me say on the show more than once that I will never have employees ever again when I was like burnt and I got like burned because of it.
P.S. And remind me to tell you a story about a prospect. I had a call okay. and she literally said, I never, ever, ever want to have W-2 employees. And I was like, I've heard this before.
Girl, we'll see you in a year. But for the sake of, we have a culture of experimentation and a culture of curiosity here. And part of that is me saying, I never want to do this. Okay, but I'll be open to exploring it. I'll be open to seeing what it could look like. And that's just kind of my personality. I go into something being like, nope, I'm probably going to hate this. And then I will still be open about it. However, like what I'm so happy about now is stuff like that takes time to shake out and to solidify. And we have to learn, right, how to be better leaders and better managers. And truly, I feel like that's all we did this year was learn how to do that better and spent a shit ton of time creating communications and dashboards and processes and workflows and whatever to support us in that venture. And it kind of all came full circle for me. We're on a coaching call, I believe last week, and Kate was on with us. She's a member of our team. And we were talking about something in regards to team culture, I think specifically. I can't remember exactly. And we're like, well, we'd love to hear your perspective. And it was like ethics and moralities. And she basically said something like, I didn't realize how impactful it would be to be a part of a culture that like was adamantly about being ethical until I was. And now it's just so second nature that I couldn't imagine doing or working for anyone doing it any other way. And that to me was like, oh, all of our boundaries are paying off. All of our values are paying off. And it was just one of those sweet, like kind of mama bear moments, like when your kid does something amazing that they learned from you and you're like, oh, great.
I know. My only caveat with that is like, I definitely want to continue to have our team be independent thinkers. And I think as we get more in a groove, I worry sometimes that we meld into this like singular unit that all thinks the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how can I continue to like cultivate individual thought leadership? But that's a story for another day. Truly.
Yeah. That's a separate thing.
Truly though, team being in a groove, knowing who's good at what, who does what, having clear roles within the company, having clear management. It literally took a full 12 months.
Yes. Yes.
Now I'm like, oh, dang. Okay. All right. Uh-huh. So that's what happens when you do that. Okay. So the second success I see is, you know, as we've grown our team and we've seen this, as the team gets bigger, as the business gets bigger, pivoting and doing anything differently can not only be more of a challenge, period, mm-hmm. but it can be a lot slower mm-hmm. than you would like it to be.
That's one of truly the biggest mind fucks for me of having a team is that you can get more done at a slower pace.
I don't know how to explain it.
It's counterintuitive to like what you think is going to happen, but it's just one of those things where
it's like 10 projects move forward.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. But they happen, like they get implemented slower versus like when it's just you, you might only do one project and you do it quickly. Yeah. But like cumulatively over time, more things are accomplished.
Done. Yes. Yes.
That's the only way I know how to explain it. But because of that, it can be intimidating when you're watching the economy change before your eyes, you're watching your industry change before your eyes, you know, you're watching things happen in real time. And as a CEO, you want to be 3 to 6 months ahead of any sort of major change in consumer spending or industry or whatever. And I will say, especially in the back half of this year, I think we fumbled through it a lot the first half, but in the back half of this year, I think when we saw an opportunity, we went for it.
Well, what I will say, I'm proud of us on two angles. So I agree with you that it was the back half. I 100% agree with you. But the reason why I'm still proud of that it happened in the back half is that we truly did give it a good old college effort the first half of the year to do what we known has always worked, right? Like we did more of, we didn't try anything new in the sense of like, we're going to completely develop a brand new marketing strategy or a brand new offer. We doubled down on what we knew was working using channels and mechanisms that we knew worked. they performed a lot differently than they have historically, for sure. And that ultimately is what led us to having to do a bigger pivot. We knew the pivot was going to happen no matter what. Part of that was literally how we wanted to work and what we wanted to be selling and how we wanted to be selling it. But we did take the time, I feel like it deserved, in the first half of the year to be like, let's keep trying what we know works before we make this shift. And then it was like, okay, no, like we do need to make this shift and it needs to happen now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we saw incredible growth after that. The pivot and fully recognizing what we could go back to. Because again, it wasn't inventing something new. It was new for our team because historically, the only people who had offered those things in the past were literally you and I. And we had zero support when we were doing those type of services. So we did have to figure out what's the process because there's more cooks in the kitchen. Oh, we can offer more done for you because there's more cooks in the kitchen. What does that look like? How is the communication? What is the workflow? There's a bigger learning curve when there's seven people versus two.
Yeah. Just for clarification there, I don't think you understand how vastly different seven is versus two.
Y'all.
It's sort of like, I mean, I know I don't have kids, but you know how they say like two is one right. thing, but like when you have three, it's just crazy. And then like get over five and like,
it doesn't matter. Right.
It's whatever. Right. But like, it's truly so different.
So different. Yes. So different. It's funny because I was around a group of friends recently who have one kiddo. We have one kiddo. We're only going to have one kiddo. And I'm a big fan of being a part of conversations with other parents who are in the, I think we might just be done with one, but I'm like feeling guilty about it. And should we do this? And I am team one kiddo. I will wear that badge of honor. I will talk you into it as much as I can. It's a completely different world. And we were around, like right after that conversation, we were around two couples, I think, who have two kiddos. And it was just like, my one kiddo was just acting completely different. And they were like fighting and arguing because they were just around more kids. And it was just like, oh, on our way home, it was just quiet. And I'm like, I'm just solidified in that decision every time.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The moisture-rich balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling moisture-rich balm, the moisture-rich body balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay. So this next success, you know, I don't think I quite realized at the time when we did it how big girl.
Oh my gosh. I don't think it still has sinked in completely for me.
I think the thing that really tipped me over the edge was, okay, so I'm talking about rolling out benefits for a team. Now, we've always had some level of benefits, but when it was Emily and I, like, things could be a little loose and undefined, and it was fine. But as we started adding employees, we needed to get really clear on what our benefits package was and how we could assist our team in making this a really great place to work. I don't think it hit me how great of a place to work we've made until a member of our team's spouse was looking for a job. And she started telling me about the kinds of things he was trying to negotiate for. And my jaw was on the floor. Like, in a way, like, I started to feel guilty because our benefits are so much better. It puts her in a position where she doesn't necessarily always get to enjoy all of them if her spouse is locked in someplace else where they don't give as much time off or whatever. But truly, it is so well-rounded, like so incredibly well-rounded, from healthcare to 401k, time off, even investing in tools and, you know, additional wellness and technology. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I got teary-eyed earlier last week. I was having dinner with some friends at their house, and this friend of ours, he owns his own business as well. He's about a year-ish in. We love talking about business. We're in completely different industries, but he was just asking about our business and our growth and what I loved about it and what we've been doing and impacts of it. And, you know, you and I talk about this all the time about how whenever someone asks me about my business, I'm not going to go into the spiel of bragging about us, right? Of just like, yes, I have a business and I have this many employees and we make this much money and we do this. I feel like sometimes I need to do that in order to justify that we have a real business. This is a real thing impacting people. But I don't do that often because it kind of makes me uncomfy. But this friend of mine was like, no, really, like, tell me all of the cool things that you're doing and the impacts and the money and like all the stuff. So I started talking about our benefits and the 401k and the stipend and health insurance and all of the things. And I was talking about our mission and, you know, how we want to impact women and femmes financially, make them fulfilled soulfully, get them loving what they're doing, get them paid well, get them enjoying life, all of that kind of fun stuff. And he just pointed out to me, he was just like, I think it's so incredible that you guys do that in your services, in your education, in your podcast, and all the things. He's like, but you're doing that on a really granular level with your team. You are absolutely impacting the entire rest of their lives because of what you're setting up for them now. And the amount of people who want to work with a startup or a small business and have something like what we've been able to create, but they have to sacrifice that, have to sacrifice a literal 401k in order to make that happen, is greater than the people who are able to offer it. And it is such a privilege to be able to offer it. And it was just so impactful to see how we're carrying out our mission internally as well. And it's just, it feels really good. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
I don't want to take it for granted either. Like, to be able to do it and do it successfully and have it benefits not only should fulfill your team, but also give them the rest and respite and peace of mind they need so that they can show up in your business the way you hope and want them to. And
I mean, we have like multiple team members who I think it's their first 401k potentially.
100%.
Which is wild to me.
Yeah. Especially given their ages. Like, that's, we want to set them up for success long term. And one of the benefits that we specifically put in place this year was our time off policy. And like, we knew we wanted to offer specifically unlimited time off, but we knew all the potential implications of doing that. And we wanted
when you,
to.
And implications when you offer unlimited PTO, no one takes it because it's not structured and they feel maybe guilty still for taking it. And so we wanted to have it there and also create structure.
Yeah. And so part of it was, you know, not only can you have unlimited, but we are going to highly suggest you take your birthday off and your anniversary. And if you're unmarried, your work anniversary. And if you want to take additional, like, throw it at us, tell us about it.
Yeah.
But aside from that, we wanted to set up the team for success. And I know we've talked about how much the business has been close. I don't think it really hit me until I was on the call with another business owner last week. And I was talking about, we can do this, this, or this, but like, just as an FYI, we will be closed starting this date and we'll reopen in January on this date. And like, they looked at me square in the face and they're like, you're closed for 2 weeks? And I said, yeah, like, absolutely we are. I'm so excited. I can't wait for my own rest, but also for our whole team to rest up, blah, blah, blah. And literally, this person has been in this industry for 20, 25 years, run a business that entire time. And she said, I'm jealous of you. And like, not only did it make me sad for her, but it really did make me think about how incredibly lucky we are. But, you know, in terms of being sad for her, I know that it's way less about, you know, making sure you have enough money. Like,
no.
No. It's way less about
that. That literally cannot be where breaks stem from, because you will never take it off.
Yeah. Like, the business, you'll figure it out. But it's so, for that specifically, it's so focused around just clear boundaries and communication. And like, there's really nothing standing in the way for most people to take more time off.
Yeah. You've convinced yourself there is.
Right.
Are there some industries? Yeah, for sure. But this one specifically, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is you who's holding that back. Are there things you will have to set up? Absolutely. Processes, communications, values, expectations, canned responses. It might be difficult the first time, but it is not impossible. And you're the only one who can make that happen.
But it's so cool because, you know, especially right now, we're recording this before we go into winter break. But even just watching our team, like, instead of being like anxious about, oh, what are they going to get done before we go on break? I'm really like, I can't wait for you to rest and come back recharged. I can't wait for you to spend time with your family. And how are you going to spend your time off? And like,
well, and I feel like even the 2 weeks leading up to our break are like quiet weeks. Also,
absolutely.
We're like independent working, less meetings, trying to get stuff wrapped up.
But just so you guys are clear, we have closed our business more than a full month in 2022. So it was 27 working days off, which is, you know, there's only 20 working days in a month. So
yeah,
I think it actually translated to 6 weeks once you included weekends and things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So much time.
I love it. Well, and then it's rest for the intention of rest instead of rest because you're tired from work. Like, those are different things. And it's a big part of why we have so much time around the holidays, because quite frankly, like, the holidays are not restful for me. My anxiety is the highest in November, December. I need to like work that out in therapy. I don't know why. I get really triggered around the holidays. My anxiety is super high. I get easily sick, really stressed out. I get more headaches. Like, everything is literally fine. It's just like an internal body response. And so for me, like, bebopping around to all the family events, all the friend things, just like makes it worse for me. And so having that extra time is really helpful, because if we didn't have the time off, you would not want to be around me. Like, having to juggle work and all the holiday things, like, that is not restful for some people.
No. Okay. So let's talk about lessons learned, and then we'll roll into
our biggest mistake. So one of the things that kind of came into fruition for us, we knew this was coming. I didn't know how quickly the lesson would come about. Again, it's not a mistake necessarily. It is just we knew the tides were turning, and they officially turned this year. And that is about the impact and the cost of advertising. We had known for probably at least a year, year and a half prior, that it was already changing and it was going to continue to change. And we needed to diversify where our eggs came, where they were, right? That we didn't want to have everything in Facebook ads, like all of our leads coming from Facebook ads, because as soon as those stop working, your leads turn off. And so we luckily started really early on to try to diversify that. It still came like a brick wall for us. Like, if I'm going to be honest with you,
it
fucking sucked.
It's, I mean, I think it still sucks.
Because it still sucks. We're just not spending money there.
It still sucks because it is something that worked for a very long time. And while it costs money, there was a return. And as things became less successful, it just didn't make sense anymore. And, you know, the thing with it, don't read too much into this, because there are absolutely still people making great ROIs with paid advertising.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and yeah. So I'm not saying don't invest in paid advertising, you know, for certain industries, for certain types of products, for whatever, like it can still be really fruitful. There is, for our space specifically, big changes happening. And I think more than anything, our issue isn't that advertising can't be effective. It's that targeting is not what it used to be after the privacy changes that went into place. And because of that, if you put your paid ad in front of people that don't give a rip, they're not going to give a rip. So I don't want to pay money to put it in front of people that don't care. And so until we can figure out targeting, that's not where we're going to put our time and attention. But in terms of the lesson underneath all of that, even though we knew it was coming, I wish we had thought about in a bigger way what changing and relying on entirely organic channels looked like sooner. Because while we were looking at it from one perspective, I think like adding new leads to our email list is, you know, something that hasn't had as much attention as getting prospects for our services or whatever.
Right, right.
And so does that look like 6, 8 months, 9 months from now? Because some of that stuff, you don't feel the issue until a lot later.
Well, and the downside was when ads stopped working for us, so did social media. And it was like at the same time, a lot of our tried and true channels, Pinterest, Instagram, our Facebook group, and ads all kind of crumbled at the same time in their efficiencies. And so it was like, oh, okay, well, if we can't rely on any of those, what do we need to do instead? And like, we literally figured it out. It was fine. But it was just like, it wasn't just losing one channel. It truly, last year, I feel like we shed so many channels, not to say that they won't pick up again, but they can't rely on them. And so we have known for a long time. And I think this is going into the lesson we're still learning. And sometimes you know the lesson, but like you don't have any other choice.
You don't have a choice in the season, but to choose the thing.
Yeah. So ours is trying not to have the bulk of your income come from one source. So whether that be a client or ads or a social media platform or a certain strategy or whatever it might be.
I think the most common version of that for y'all listening, for service providers, is that you have one big client that's consistent. And then what happens if that one big client goes away? Or like we have someone else in the incubator. We have someone who relies really heavily on one platform for leads, and the leads dipped dramatically this year. And that's had a really huge impact on her business. And it's like, I never want to see either like lead source or marketing mechanism or income have one source that's bringing in more than 10 to 15%. And I know that sounds crazy. You're like, okay, well, if we're looking at marketing sources and like, what if I really only have two that are working? I'm like, I know, I get it. I'm not saying you don't need to choose it in this season, but it's something over time where you need to look for more opportunities for in a variety of places. And you have to also be mindful that like, there is a point where you spread yourself too thin, where it's no longer helpful.
But like what I'm talking about, there are so many service providers I know who are in Facebook groups where they get the bulk of their clients from. Like there will be job opportunities posted there, or you can comment on someone's with your job listing or whatever it might be. What if that group gets shut down tomorrow? Do you have a referral journey? Do you have a network that you can reach out to and rely on? Are you also building up your Rolodex of contacts that are outside of that?
Yeah. So we're not saying you need to have 10 today, right. But like,
what's your backup?
What's the backup to the main thing? Because we all know that y'all got a main gig that's working pretty well for you, and that's fine. But like, I think the leads thing, I think, can almost always be sorted out before it becomes a massive issue. The one that I have seen bite people in the ass multiple times is the one big client, and it's making up more than 15 or 20%. In reality, it needs to be more like 5 to 10%. Because you get too high, and especially if you have a team, it could mean layoffs are required or whatever. And anyway, it is complicated, and it is something we will continue to have to work on ourselves. And it's like, even if we know the thing, we also know sometimes you choose the thing anyway, because it's what the opportunity that's in front of you, and take advantage of what is working. Like, don't say no just because you don't want to like make that true, but like also know what the risks are of doing that. And we did, and we do, and it came true, and that sucks. And so anyway, I know I'm being a little bit cryptic, but I have to for the privacy of some things. But
do you want to share our biggest mistake?
Yeah.
Okay. the one that we actually count as a mistake.
Yeah. So this one is an actual mistake. And I think part of it is, when you're growing a business, theoretically, you know, if you continue to grow over the years, you've never been as big as you are now. And so you have to make different decisions based on where you are now. And you've never been presented with these opportunities before. And so you just have to make a decision. And then you live with the results of that decision. And so we were in a position to see massive growth this year. And we chose growth, and we knew going into this year we were choosing growth. And we also chose to hire ahead of the growth, in a lot of ways, thinking that the hiring would facilitate more of the uptick. I don't necessarily think, knowing what I know now, I don't necessarily think the hiring of the people is what led to the growth. I think the having the support, so I know that our clients can be well taken care of, is more true to what's really happening. But from a financial standpoint, I would absolutely say it was a mistake to hire ahead of some of the growth. And I wish we had hired slower and less people. And I think ultimately everything shook out the way it needed to. And it was a little bit painful in the process. Maybe a lot painful.
It was a lot painful. We're just blocking that out.
I don't want to think about some of it. And truly, P.S., if you work for us, it was not about you guys. Like, it wasn't about the people that worked for us. It was about the implications of hiring the people financially.
Yep. Yep. Was the problem. Well, and quite literally, like, we have realized over and over and over again, and we just have to like kind of remind ourselves that these are the type of people we are. We do not work well under financial pressure. And when the space is open and abundant, we make the best decisions and the best strategies and have incredible results because of that. That's not to say that we can't also make really great decisions in a pickle, because we've been there a time or two. But we do not like to create a business.
Right.
We don't have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we welcome ease and abundance into our life. And so we also have to make the decisions that support that, no matter what is happening with clients, with sales, with marketing, with expenses, with whatever. And as long as we prioritize that, then we can get there. But good Lord, we were running a business where we like had to make decisions because of like literal expenses. And that was not fun. It was not the kind of business I like to run.
Yeah. So in terms of like what I would do differently, one, I would slow down. I wouldn't grow as fast on purpose. But also in terms of savings and like what I would look for, we did have a good chunk of cash in the business. But instead of having 3x payroll or 4x payroll in cash reserves, I would honestly recommend you have at least 3x operating expenses. And that can be a shiz ton of money. And so you're like, literally, how am I ever going to get here? Like, I would have to save for a full year before I hire anyone.
Great. Start now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. especially in the market that we're in. Like, if you take our point that we said earlier, right, of like, we quote unquote lost the efficiencies or the impacts of four different channels while our expenses skyrocketed, that was fucking stressful. I would not wish that on anyone. And I know a lot of us have gone through some version of that this year in our own business. Maybe you like bought a new home or a new car or had an extra kid or like whatever, right? Because of everything was going gravy. And then this fucking year happened or last year happened. And it was like, yikes.
Yeah. And so savings and cash is essential for the growth of any business. And so be mindful of what you're taking out of the business. Not that you should, like, pay yourself well and save. And especially if you want to continue to grow long term, like, you will need a lot more cash in the business than you think. A lot more.
Because I'll also tell you right now, financing for small businesses is pretty slim.
It's hard to find other options to make things work. And, you know, unless you're willing to loan your business money, which I think most people are not in the financial position they could do that, it can be really tough. And so luckily we're in a great spot and we're going to go into next year. And knowing everything we know now, I'm absolutely going to make different decisions. And it's a big part of why, and I very well may even do a whole episode on it. It's very well why we are going into a year of maintenance, because it would be economically irresponsible, not only hard from a like a marketing perspective, but it would be incredibly irresponsible to go into a season of growth without a season of maintenance and sustainability. And so we are going into the year of stabilization, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about what that looks like. So overall, very, very, very challenging year, but I do, at the end of the day, feel really good about who's with us, who's on this journey with us, what we're doing, what we're creating, what it means for next year.
Like, I still like this year better than I did 2018.
Yeah, mostly because of who was along for the ride. I would say it was similarly challenging as 2018, but I have heard some thoughts around cycles, and I'm very hopeful that if this year was like 2018, then this coming year should be great. So
I fucking hope so. I just need a little bit of a break.
I don't know.
What are the things in your body that are like, is it your adrenal glands? Like, what's like triggered? Your adrenals. My adrenal glands need a break.
Your adrenals are fatigued, as they would say.
They are fatigued.
You've been in fight or flight a little too often. And so we are going to reduce the cortisol in our bodies and go into a season of rest and really think about stabilization. And, you know, I will say, to kind of like put the seal on this, for us, this means how can we continue to utilize the amazing team we've built to really streamline things so there's way more predictability going into this next season. And do I think we'll still have to pivot? Do I think we'll still have hiccups? Do I think there'll still be days where I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Yes. Welcome to owning a business.
Well, I was like, that's literally never going away, and no matter what's going on in the rest of the world or economy. So,
well, I hope you enjoyed this. And if you have any questions, I am an open book, and
you're
welcome to ask us questions in the DMs over at Boss Project. I'd love to chat with you. And if you're interested in working with us in 2023, please set up a call. I would love for you to go to bossproject.com/waitlist. Let me know what your challenges are, what you're excited about, what your goals are, and let us know what you're thinking in terms of how our team might help you, and we'll have a conversation.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.